Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica Foundation Affiliate Program Task Force, and it's June 14, 2007. The time is 8:49 Eastern. And let's see, we'll take the roll here. Alan Minsky. Berta Silva. Chandra, are you back on?
Sorry,
Deb?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yes.
Deb Shafto. Dina?
Yes, I'm here.
Doc, Evelyn Bethune?
She's actually no longer on this committee.
Okay. Don White. Kalanji?
We'll be here.
Yeah. Lori? Margaret? Ray?
You should say the last names for the on air. Shouldn't you, for the since we're broadcasting?
Yeah. Let's see. Laurie Taguma, Margaret Prescott, Ray LaForest, Rick Robbins is here, Rob Robinson, Sandra Rawline, Sarv Randhawa, Sean Rhodes, Teresa Allen, Serene Roberts. Ursula, you're here. Ursula,
yeah.
Rudenberg. And let's see, did somebody come on the line that I didn't call? Okay, well, this is, I guess we'll...
Just came on the line.
Somebody came on.
I just joined right when you were taking roll. Perfect timing, huh?
Who's this?
This
Sandra?
Is Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
Oh, hi, Sandra.
Okay. Okay, tonight's agenda, we have, I don't know that we have any minutes to approve. Number three, we have a guest speaker tonight, and Ursula will be introducing him. Number four, we have the Structure Work Group Report, and that's Financial Information and Outreach Division Proposal. Number five is the Outreach Strategy Work Group Report. Number six, Reviewing the Annual Priorities. And number seven, under new business, Serene Roberts has requested that we discuss the creation of a listserv dedicated to task force work, such as a Yahoo group that's utilizing its file section.
This is Teresa. I'm back on.
Hi, Teresa. I was reading the draft agenda.
Okay.
And I've just finished reading it, so are there any additions or suggestions, changes?
Well, I want to tell you the dates. I want to tell you the dates of the minutes. I've sent them out any number of times.
Okay. All right.
We have minutes from June 8th of 06, January 11th of 07, March 15th of 07, April 10th of 07, and May 10th of 07.
And 5/10/07.
So.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 sets of minutes there that have been distributed over past month.
Yeah.
And
in fact, it's getting a little confusing sending them out again.
Right. So they've already been sent out. So if we approve these and put this in the minutes that we've approved these, anyone who's missing a certain section could contact you or I. And I think I have most of these.
This is Ursula. Regarding the listserv, there is actually already a listserv that was established for the Affiliates Task Force, and it just, nobody's asked to have it activated until now. So I can just go ahead and activate that again and put, everybody's name on this task force on the listserv. And I can do that immediately. That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. Would that also be storage for documents that we have? I mean, maybe temporary storage or just working use?
Well, I personally don't think we should give our documents to Yahoo. I think that we can store them on our own website or, in our computers, but I'm just not in favor of posting all this at Yahoo. That's how I feel. But we can speak about that later. I just wanted to say that We do have a listserv.
What if we were to put a request through this task force for one or two people who are kind of computer literate who might be interested in being able to post these documents? I mean, we're only looking at five sets of minutes. Probably there's some others.
Well, the minute.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to do it. I manage PacificaNetwork.org, and it wouldn't be a problem to make a section of PacificaNetwork.org to post them.
Oh, so all of our minutes would be on PacificaNetwork.org?
Well, I see. You're talking about the foundation site.
Well, I don't know. It seems to me that wherever they're at, as long as somehow they're found.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Pete manages PacificaNetwork.org. I just post stuff to it. In any case, let's talk about this later on because I don't want to keep Mr. waiting.
Right. Okay. So
we can get in the ins and outs of it later.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
I second it.
Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? And if not, then is there a motion to approve five sets of minutes?
I will.
Okay.
This is Teresa. I move that we approve the minutes.
Okay.
They're dated June 8th of 06, January 11th of 07, March 15th of 07, April 10th of 07, and May 10th of 07.
Okay. Is there any objection?
It.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Hi, it's Rob. I just joined the call.
Hi, Rob.
Sorry, I'm on vacation, so I won't be with you for a long time, but I apologize for coming in unannounced.
Well, we appreciate your time. What we've done is just approved an agenda, and we're just approving minutes. There are five sets of minutes, and we're going to date those in the minutes for tonight's meeting, and if any member needs a set, then at that time they could contact the secretary or myself, and we'll be happy to share those. So if there's no objection to that, then we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. And Ursula, will you introduce our guest for tonight?
Yeah. We usually have an affiliate join us for a few minutes at the beginning of these meetings. This week I instead invited a gentleman who is part of the group of people who are heading into the brave new world of applying for the first set of non-commercial radio licenses that have been applied for in many, many years. Mr. is one of the people that I met when I went to Atlanta two weekends ago to speak with the project we call Radio South, where we're working together with people throughout the rural South to develop new radio stations. So I have asked Mr. not to disclose what community he's from, because it's highly competitive. People, even though there's probably a limited audience to this call, it is on the public record, and we're trying not to create more competition for Mr. than necessary. So kind of with that level of anonymity, I'd like to introduce Mr. I really enjoyed meeting him very much, and Mr. can you take it from here and describe what you're doing?
Okay. My name is Charles. I have been in this area since 61. And I doubt anybody in this area would not know me. So I doubt that if this has wide coverage that I won't be recognized by my name. We've gotten some 10 to 15 organizations in this rural area, and I've been made to cry many times hearing the Herald, the newspaper here, and the radio and the TV coverage predict that thousands of blacks are going to the polls, and they're going to block vote. And as a result, the thousands of whites come to the polls and keep our elections not successful for that period of time several times. But we have been successful. There's a black congressman in our district, and there are some 10 counties where we control the school boards and we control the county commissions and city commissions in some counties. So that has been successful politically, but we're still economically in the graveyard. All the suffering that we have gone through to try to stand on our feet, one thing's been missing. That is a voice that can be heard by all our people. A voice that can tell when to go to a certain program been released. Certain regulations have been changed. Certain offices have been opened in this city, in that county. And because we don't have the voice, we've never been able to give that information to our people or to urge certain activist things to happen, to speak on social justice issues, or just to promote our culture. For example, another issue of environment, I'm going to another organization that I chair on Saturday morning to present this as a possibility. Another voice, another group of people to be interested in promoting a good environment where we find ourselves located in dumps, where we find where our housing, our schools, for example, located on a dump and located within a rock's throw of a large barrage of tanks, gas and diesel. And those huge round tanks, they breathe out poisonous gas. There's issues like that that our people aren't even conscious of, need to be conscious of. The fact that there's a certain chemical that's used in dry cleaning that will give you cancer. There are certain people, certain businesses still using that. That's cancer-producing toxin that ought not to be used. That if our people knew about it, I think some things would happen. And so this is why we need a voice. And I'm trying to work for the largest, biggest voice that we can have. Somebody promoted in my mind the idea of a kind of a booster apparatus where our voice is transmitted a certain distance and then boosted by another transmitter or booster apparatus to go another 10 to 40, 50 miles. So that's why we're interested in this. And I want to thank you for allowing us to have Ursula. Because he's certainly the angel that we needed to get all of this going. I'm sure you all have to vote that she be allowed to do it. And I thank all of you all for your vote. As I just saw you vote, heard you vote. I know that's how you operate, by the vote.
Well, thank you.
Is there anybody who would like to maybe ask a question or two before we have to move back to our business?
Well, I'm from New York City, and I'm curious whether you have any questions for us because we come from different parts of the country.
No, I really don't know enough about this to ask a question, to tell you frankly. I'm learning the language, and I just know what an antenna is, what a transmitter is. Where it's supposed to be located, a studio needed, and These are new terms, you know. You all got a whole language, new language here I got to learn.
Uh-huh.
But as far as community organizing, getting people together and making sure that that station goes on now, that's my bailiwick.
Would it help you if you, if somehow, I'm just thinking out loud, if somehow money could be raised so that you could travel to other low-powered stations to see what they look like and how they're set up?
Well,
one thing I want to make clear, these are not low-powered.
We're looking for full power.
Oh, you're looking for full power. Oh, okay. Okay.
I still
think my question stands, whether it's low or full,
whether
seeing a studio in action would help you visualize more of what you need to be getting yourself together for.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I think so.
Well, I think Ursula has a kind of a handle on that. I know that Prometheus has a couple of the DVDs that show the barn raisings and then a visit to an actual station. I mean, that would seem to be a process that potential applicants would want to take in this this year's opportunity.
That's right. I use the term there, barn raising. I've read that term, but it doesn't stick to my mind.
Yeah, there's a couple of DVDs that I've seen, and they show groups of community members coming together to build a station, sometimes in just a few days.
That's what you call a barn raising?
Right. It's the radio barn raising. Yeah. And so the video is great to because you get to see the station being constructed, a couple different ones. I've seen one for a station in Tennessee and one for a station in Oregon. And so, you know, they're different facilities slightly, but the way they come together is very similar and very educational. It's, you know, a documentary-style film. So you get to see some of the actual components. Then I think visiting, you know, I don't know your location, so Ursula would be able to help you with the nearest community radio station.
Yeah, WRFG in Atlanta is really kind of playing a leadership role here because they're really the most prominent community radio station in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So they've, you know, they're very much involved with this, which is great. But I think that whether it's to visit stations or any other thing, I mean, there's going to be some real expenses for this project, particularly since there is a very good likelihood that there will be legal fees once the application is over, because there's likely to be challenges from other, you know, people wanting stations, particularly from the conservative right. So any funding is always appreciated. I mean, I appreciate you thinking of that. And, so whether it's for visiting or for other purposes, there's definitely a need for money here.
Ursula?
Oh, go ahead.
Sure. This is Rob Robinson. I just want to try to get on the right page here. I gather that one of the things that we're to understand is that Mr. in the event that he's able to obtain a license, hopes to affiliate with Pacifica, and one of the reasons that he's interested in Pacifica is because Pacifica can help him gain access to some of the services that he needs to envision the station and get it up and running. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and I'd like to say that I think this is the direction that Pacifica envisioned, you know, its media democracy moving in back in the 50s and the 60s, and I think this is clearly the way that we need to go. And while this is to some extent a little different than we're thinking of affiliates, I think Mr. Sherman's remarks make it clear the extent to which this is necessary in this country. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Don White here.
Don, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm very inspired by this. I'm so glad that you joined our call. I just want to say kind of anecdotally that I worked very closely around the the struggles in Central America during the 80s and 90s, and following the end of the war in El Salvador, not full-powered, but micro-radios were established in communities throughout El Salvador, and they rallied for the human needs that their communities needed. It was a marvelous experience to be in El Salvador and watch these radio stations communicate with their communities and this network of radio actually move forward in developing water projects and educational projects. So there's a tremendous tradition of radio, working for social and economic justice. I really applaud what you're doing, and I'm hoping that Pacifica can do all possible. Now, in addition to what Rob said about providing services and infrastructure help and so on, we're in a position to provide programming too. Are you familiar with some of the programming that our affiliates get from the Pacifica Foundation?
I've just been in this for 2 months.
Okay.
But I do know. I've gotten the literature, and I've read the literature. Pacifica Radio Archives. I know about that. I know Democracy Now. I know the Free Speech Radio News. I know all that. We'll be getting some of that, once we get up. We need help getting up on our feet.
Well, best to you. We're really behind you 100%.
This is Chandra. I just wanted to make one other comment also. One of the advantages also to becoming affiliate is that you can share your programming, and you can take programming from other affiliates. So, and in fact, there's a program called Sprouts where the affiliates get together and they produce programming that's then distributed. So it's a way to get your voice not only throughout your community but nationally. And we now have international affiliates. We have one that signed on in Nigeria that reaches, 6 million people, Ursula?
I think they said 20 million.
There you go.
What's the possibility of, I'm speaking out of ignorance, but I think, wasn't it Emus who had a television station televising his radio station? Is it? Or am I misinformed on that?
Well, Amy Goodman has that too.
Well, yes, I think he did have that, and Amy Goodman has Democracy Now's televised. It's a televised radio show.
Yeah, I think we ought to have that. After we get the radio station.
Yeah, there you go. Are there other questions or comments for the guest tonight? I am so glad that he was on the call, because one phrase that I wrote down when he talked about what radio can be in his community is a voice that can be heard by all the people. And I think that even though we come from areas where our stations are already established and we're kind of used to them, what you're looking for, Mr. Schultz, is exactly why we are all affiliated with community radio stations.
Good.
It really empower our community. So,
Ursula?
Yeah.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Go ahead.
This meeting that was, I think, how many people were at those meetings, and can you tell us some of the communities that were there?
Well, I'm not going to tell you what communities were there, but there were about 10 people at each meeting, if I remember correctly, approximately 10 at each meeting.
Great.
And they represented, people from various states throughout the South. And, I just want to say, while Charles is still on the phone, that, I hope everybody can see why it's such an honor for me to do this job and the kind of people that I have the honor to work with. It's really something. So maybe we should move ahead with business.
Okay. Well, it's been great talking with you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Hearing you.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful.
So that we're not all alone.
Keep in touch.
Right.
Keep in touch.
All right.
Good night. Thanks for joining us.
Good night. God bless you.
Yep, it's nice to know that you're not out there all alone. That was great.
Rip, can I ask,
yeah.
have we taken attendance?
Yes. Let's see. It was, should we retake attendance for your records, Teresa?
That would be great.
Okay. Do you want to click?
There?
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Chandra? Chandra Hopman? I think she's
here.
Yeah.
It's Don White.
Here.
Sean Rhodes? I don't think he's here. Berta Silva? She's not here. Serene Roberts? I don't hear her. Teresa Allen and Rob Robinson are here. I heard Rob.
I'm here.
Kalonji Olusegun? I guess he's not here. Ursula's here. And Dina. Sarv Randhawa? Margaret Prescott?
I left, I called her and left messages, but she's not on the call yet.
Is Alan Minsky on? No. Ray LaForest? Sandra Rawline?
Here.
Great. And Lori Taguma? Did I call Rip Roberts? Rip?
Present.
Rip, thanks. Rip.
I'll answer to anything.
And Deb Shafto.
Here.
Did I miss anyone?
Deb.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're on number four. And
Rip,
yeah.
One quick question. What is mute on this call? Is it?
I think it's #6, isn't it?
#6. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. And this is called Structure Group Report. And what we have is financial information, a variety of financial information, and also an outreach division proposal. And the background on this, some of the background on this, if I can recall all of it, is that we have two documents that Lonnie sent, that he sent offering two different mechanisms that he suggested that were possible accounting schemes for this breakout affiliate budget. And then we also have documents going back to Greg's call where we discussed the connection between the affiliate program and what outreach would be, a major part of the outreach activity for Pacifica Foundation. Ursula, do you want to kind of draw those things together? And
okay. I'll try and keep
help.
It really brief and to the point. we did look over the budgets, and as instructed, I the budgets the information we got from Lonnie wasn't for a projection for a whole year. It was kind of to date, and so I put together a projection for 2006-2007, and with using the information that Lonnie gave us and the information that I had, the instructions that I was given at the beginning of the year in terms of allocation. And also with some help from the finance office in terms of specific numbers. And essentially, what we have is that currently the affiliates program contributes about $200,000 to Pacifica's overall income, primarily through affiliate fees. of those, the cost of the affiliates program is approximately $118,000, and there's now, you know, if anybody is interested in seeing more details, we can make that available to them. But the that's basically covering the costs are our salary, which include my salary and an administrative assistant. It's office expenses, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill office expenses. And then there's a marketing and outreach budget, which was allocated to be $25,000. That was what we were allocated at the beginning of the fiscal year. And then we also included expenses. There's also some expenses for travel to PNB meetings, and another expense that we put in, I think it was about $700 for sometimes the audio port has a flat fee for bandwidth use, and usually we do not exceed that. So there are no outstanding costs. But sometimes when we have a special that's particularly hot, the amount of affiliates that stream the shows, the audio port streams the satellite. So when there's a special and the stations that don't have satellites, they stream it through audio port. And there are times when there's so many people on that we actually end up spending more than the allocated amount of bandwidth. Pete estimated for me that probably $700 a year is a pretty pretty generous estimate for what that costs. So we added that to the budget as well. And that's basically, you know, the long and the short of it. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to go into it more, but that's the general idea. So beyond that, I was asked to kind of initiate the process of language for the proposal for the outreach division that we're asking or we're discussing. And the point is that the affiliates program has been handling a number of tasks beyond its initial charge of just working with affiliates and really into the area of general outreach. And one of the results of that is the kind of work that is happening now that that Mr. Sherrod was talking about. That's just one aspect of the kind of more general outreach work we're doing, which, by the way, you can see for yourselves, just has tremendous public relations value just in the nature of it, because it is such, you know, it's such mission fulfillment work. It really helps to establish Pacifica as a, you know, a media democracy organization that's playing a role. So that's really just to say that it's kind of this kind of a natural place to develop an outreach department. And we developed, you know, a mission statement, which really, to summarize very quickly, is basically that the outreach division would promote Pacifica Radio as a broadcast champion for independent radio and furthering the cause of progressive grassroots media, and essentially focuses on collaboration and coalition with between radio producers and between organizations, and advocating for free speech rights. The vision attached to this is basically acknowledges that it's just that the organization needs to have a public relations and promotional aspect to it. I really, you know, see this very strongly in. I mean, it's interesting for me in my work with this Radio for People thing, this campaign working with the new licenses. It's very interesting because Pacifica really is investing resources into this, and we're doing really really important work, but we don't really have any way to let people know that we're doing it. And again, we don't get credit for the work we're doing because, you know, it's important to do good work, but it's also, you have to tell people you're doing it, and you have to tell people that you want to be doing it, for people to really acknowledge what you're doing. And in the long run, there's just no, in terms of growth and resources, there's just no replacement for an outreach and public relations department, and really will lead to long-term stability. And I think the growth of the affiliates program has demonstrated the potential for that already. The structure we have we're outlining is essentially that such a division would include an outreach director, which would mean a revision of my job description or the description of whoever holds my job in the future. That there would be an aspect of marketing. A public relations aspect, the affiliates program, and some amount of development. And in the areas of marketing, development, and public relations, there would be, expressed collaboration between this national department and other members of the national staff and public and the Pacifica Radio Archives, and also coordination and collaboration with the staff at the stations that do this kind of work, that it would, so it would really become an integrated process. Then there needs to be a job description made, and that's about it. I think I'll stop there.
And I would just like to add one thing, which is...
That's Dina?
Yes. Which is, most of what is here is really the form for, formation of what has already taken place. It's not a whole new way of operating, in the sense that Ursula for years has been our PR marketing outreach person well beyond the affiliate program. And once we started to get a budget last year, that's when it became apparent that of all the other tasks that have been taking place. So this isn't new. And so I just want to say that for the record.
Yeah, I'd like to say that something about that, since it's going on the record. I want to avoid the misconception that somehow I've been overstepping my job description. And I want to explain partly why, in a sense, some of this has occurred. The affiliates program, its approach, its marketing approach, or my marketing approach, I should say, I'm not an it, is really based on attraction, not on sales, meaning that my goal in marketing the affiliates program is to create the kind of reputation and, sense of value to Pacifica, so that people want to buy from us, not that I sell to them. And that's kind of a basic marketing approach that I've employed, and I think it is an approach which is recognized by, many people, corporate world and nonprofit world, as really the way to build long-term stability. And so, by default, having to improve the reputation and value of Pacifica, it's occurred by default in my efforts to get the word out, to get people to affiliate with us.
Okay, I would just point out...
Having said all that, this can all be condensed into, a relatively, brief and clear statement that, we can use in the future if we decide to proceed with this. Okay, I'm done, Rip. Sorry.
Okay. I just want to point out on this document that we just got yesterday from Ursula that point out, since this is on the record, that number one, the introduction, there's a half a dozen areas where the affiliate coordinator has actually gone out and represented Pacifica, facilitated support for stations in the network, is out there building alliances with other media democracy organizations. And what I'd also point out to the task force is under number two, under vision, it does talk about long-term success for this program, and there's no replacement for effective public relations and outreach strategy. And also, Ursula, in writing this document, has put down there that this affiliates program has already been serving as an outreach department. So when we've been talking as an affiliates task force with the executive director of the foundation about the growth of this area and the foundation as well, there were some recommendations to merge this existing area, expand this existing area into this outreach function. So I hope everyone can take some time to read this document. This actually is not a public document. I think Ursula is going to revise it fairly quickly, but certainly those first four sections on here, five sections, including the job description, are really ready to look at for our task force. And what would be our next steps, Ursula, that you would recommend?
Excuse me, before we proceed, I think other people have joined the call. We might want to find out who they are.
Yes.
Well, Don White moved from a cell phone to a landline, so that may
okay,
be
Don.
But I do have a question at some point.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is there any, or we certainly probably have some more questions. So go ahead, Don.
Well, we've talked, a lot of us have talked for a long time, and this is in no way a criticism of management or a criticism, certainly not a criticism of Lonnie, but there seems to be a misconception that the affiliates program does not generate excess revenue. And, you know, if, you know, certainly Ursula and others over a period of time, we've pointed out that when you actually analyze the income from the affiliates program, sometimes Berkeley management charges, you know, the affiliates program for fees that would be incurred by the network, whether or not there was an affiliates program. And so my question is, in this whole scheme of things, are we going to try to clarify that there is income from the affiliates program that can be plowed back into promotion, PR, and infrastructure help? Like the compañero we just had on the program tonight, it would be on the committee meeting. It would be absolutely wonderful if the affiliates program could develop small grants, you know, to new stations that are pledging to become affiliates and help them with infrastructure. So I just wanted to raise the point, you know, there's about $80,000, I believe, or so, that is generated by the affiliates program up and beyond what costs the affiliates legitimately incur and need to reimburse the network for. So are we at any point talking about budget and how excess income from this affiliates program can be plowed back in, or am I premature?
Well, what I would say to the member is that the first thing we would do is present what we need, because I would say that there's difference of opinion over whether that $80,000 is used to offset Democracy Now!, Free Speech Radio News, and different uplinking costs that are not itemized on this printout from Ursula. And so I would say that that's a board decision that would have to be made, because there will be probably differences of opinion on whether that's $80,000 in the clear or whether it's $80,000 that's owed to the foundation, to the national office, to compensate for other uses that, as you put it, though, that would already be part of the sister station network without the affiliates.
Well, yes, because
I would like to add
Chandra,
a bit.
Okay.
add something to
first,
what.
Let
to
me
what,
get a list, though. Okay, I have Chandra, and who else?
Dina.
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Chandra.
I don't know if Don's finished. I
no,
just wanted
I am.
To add
no,
something
I,
to what
I,
he said.
The chair was generous with time, so I'm going to shut up. You go ahead, Chandra.
I just wanted to make everybody aware that when Lonnie sent his budget breakout, and he had a projected cost to the affiliates program, well, he says here, the second spreadsheet details actual expenses, but adding allocated expenses, which include the cost for Democracy Now! And FSRN for review, I sent him back an email, and I think I copied everybody, but if I didn't, I just want to say that I said, thanks for the expense breakdown. I am puzzled by the PRA model. What does this represent? Since the affiliates program is a national office program, I would think they should not have to pay towards program expenses. Also, the income budget does not include all of the income that the program derives from the affiliates payments to the foundation. That income should be included as part of the income for this program. So I was hoping to get some numbers back from Lonnie, but all I got back was all good points, Chandra, to be discussed. So I think we need to follow up with Lonnie on that to see, you know, well, it's just, following up on what Don said. I just wanted to, you know, share that response from Lonnie.
Right, and probably the same way I replied to Don would be that I would suggest that task force consider that we would take this to the board, but that maybe not preemptively allocate those funds. Dina, you're next.
My question is, what if the sister stations are paying 20% to the national, why is it that the affiliate program is paying more? Why are we equal to the sister stations? Why is it that a much larger percentage of income comes from the affiliate program to contribute to the rest of the network? And a second part of that would be, couldn't the affiliate task force, when it's doing its budget, really define how we could better spend some of that money? I would agree with Don White in reinvesting it into the affiliate program with more marketing and outreach and monies that we deem important, rather than putting a preponderance of the money into programs that I think is like almost double dipping, where we're paying for democracy now when in fact the affiliates pay for it.
Well, amen, sister. Amen.
Right. But,
I'd like to get on those stacks.
Okay, Ursula. You could see that how Lonnie came. Okay, Rob. How Lonnie come up with his number is by dividing the total contract cost by the number of users, which was 6, I think, if the affiliates was part of that. But the 20% comes off the top of station revenue to national office. But I'm not sure that that covers the Democracy Now! Payments from each station. I may be wrong in that, but the sheer dollars of the 20% is it's a numbers game with why the 20% and why we would be paying more. But I think we would approach the question from the point of view that all excess dollars go to the national office budget. Let's see, we have, I heard Ursula and then Rob. Ursula?
Well, there's a few things I'm not sure that getting into confrontation with Lonnie about numbers is going to serve our development of an outreach. It's going to serve really what I think is the real, I think the real win for us, which is to develop an outreach department. The reason why the affiliates program pays more than the stations is because the affiliates program is part of the national office, and so we are part of the national office. And you know what comes into the affiliates, what comes in from the affiliates is meant to, you know, to be part of the national budget. But again, to clarify, the existence of the affiliates program only creates in real expenses about $118,000. The fact that affiliates use Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News or AudioPort or the satellite does not in any way increase the cost of those services, which are the regular cost of doing business for the network anyway. There is no increase in cost because the affiliates also use those. However, there is an income that comes in from that. Which naturally, you know, goes to the national office because we are the national office. So, you know, I don't think that's really, you know, a problem. And I think that, you know, if possible, we should avoid getting into, you know, a fight over numbers when essentially, in the end, the result, what we want is an outreach department that does have funding, whether it comes from the affiliate funds or other parts of Pacifica National. I think that's really the priority. I would prefer to move forward instead of to keep, you know, arguing about numbers in the past, unless it becomes prohibitive in the future.
Rob?
Yeah, I would agree with Ursula, but I think that there is one fundamental issue that's being raised by the affiliates program that this task force has to consider, and that's that what Ursula is doing, has done with the affiliates program, is showing that Pacifica can grow. And there is a fundamental tension between the policy that says Pacifica should grow by bringing more programming to larger stations, to larger numbers of stations, albeit affiliate stations and audiences, and what we've basically been pursuing at the station level for decades, which says, no, we can continue broadcasting to the same people that we've broadcasted to for the last 10 or 20 years, and that's all we need to do. And I think that one of the things, while I don't think we need to fight with Lonnie, we need Lonnie to be an ally for the affiliates program, I do think that one of the things that this whole issue raises is the fact that, that Pacifica as an organization has no goals for growth. It has no goals for audience or for new revenues or for increasing the revenues from existing audiences. And what Ursula is doing in many ways is very much like Democracy Now. She's showing that when Pacifica works collaboratively, we can become widely accepted. We can create programming that people want to hear. We can become a media advocacy organization that individuals like Mr. Sherrod want. But as long as the organization, as an organization, is not committed to that, then Ursula has no leverage in going to people like Lonnie, even if Lonnie wants to support her. So I think the consideration that we have to have is we have to decide whether or not we're going to make a strong statement to the organization that it should embrace the notion of growth. And the affiliates is one successful way for Pacifica to grow. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Where do we go from here? Well, if there weren't any other comments, I would like to comment on the prior speaker, especially his comment that we need to make a strong statement here. And so I really think if we review the document that Ursula has put together, she's done the heavy lifting, so to speak, on this, on helping us formulate what can be policy here. Then, and again, I want to iterate, this is not a final version of this. She's just putting out all of the information so that as we look at it, we digest it and refine this into a policy that we can take to the board. Chandra, you were asking, what's our next step with this? I think that
I'm sorry to interject,
sure, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, but I just want to ask what timeline is necessary so we know what the next step would be.
For those who aren't PNB members, I'll tell you that the CFO chided the LSBs for being 3 weeks late at this point, and so I would imagine if we went to talk about budgeting, he would also say we're 3 weeks late. So that means that we need to move expeditiously. And Ursula, did you have a suggestion for how a motion to proceed would sound?
Well, it seems to me that the task force has to decide whether to take on this. Basically, say we want to develop an outreach division, and then the way we've been working so far is that the structure committee then basically hammers out the language and to bring it to the PNB. And I would also suggest the task force also instruct the structure committee to begin working on the outlines of a budget. Obviously, you can't finalize a budget until the PNB has said we can, you know, approve that there is an outreach division. We would need PNB approval for that. But I think having some idea of the cost would put us ahead of the game with the budget process, and it would also make it a more legitimate proposal to the PNB. So I would say the first step would be to decide whether or not we want to move ahead with this and whether to instruct the structure committee and anybody else that wants to work with the structure committee to turn this into a proposal to take to the PNB. Maybe by email we can have everybody have a look at it before the meeting. And I assume there's going to be a PNB meeting before. I'm not sure of the dates. Either we'll meet before the PNB meeting or not.
It's in the first or second week of July at this point.
Yeah, so we probably would want, I mean, I assume you would, as the structure committee, would want to pass it around for everybody to look at, you know, as kind of a final go-around before it was proposed at a meeting.
Ursula, yeah, I need to clarify. Did you mean for structure to work on the six-part document for the outreach proposal as well?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, so far, you know, that work group has, you know, pushed this forward, and so why not finish it? I mean, that's, who else is going to do it?
Right, no, I only heard your part about formulating the budget, so I was just clarifying that also included taking the six-part proposal, which includes the job description, because that's what the board needs to approve. The concept of that. Okay. So that's a simultaneous effort then.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the budget part can't be finalized till the whole thing is approved by the PNB. But does that sound right? I mean, I'm not a board member, so.
Are there other members who have an idea on the process here?
Sandra?
Go ahead.
Chandra?
Well, I would like to see us come up with a proposal, with a motion to establish an outreach committee that we would like to present to the PNB. But along with that, we should have an outline, I think, of what the structure would look like with a proposed budget. So I think it should be a three-part proposal. Well, not a three-part. The motion should have these accompanying documents that we need to prepare at the same time to present.
Don White.
Don?
Yeah, first of all, let me just say that I defer totally to Ursula. My earlier comments about income and what I think is Lonnie's slight misrepresentation, I agree, Ursula, that battling out with Lonnie these fine points is not the important thing. So I defer to you, and I fully understand your point. My question is, you know, an outreach committee is not in isolation. And my question to Ursula is, doesn't this proposal have to be a proposal that alters also the role of the affiliates director? In other words, isn't this a little bit more of a comprehensive proposal than just creating an outreach? A committee?
In your question? I'm sorry.
Well, maybe I'm not making myself clear. I'm trying to think of what components this motion should include. It's more than just creating this outreach department and PR. It also, am I correct or incorrect, that it also alters the status and the job description and so on of the affiliates coordinator?
That's a good question. I mean, the way it's been formulated so far is that the job of the affiliates coordinator would be developed into basically an outreach manager or outreach director, I guess you could
right.
call it, and with the idea that there still would be sufficient staff to, you know, serve the affiliates, the affiliates program, that wouldn't go away and would become part of this. Now,
right.
obviously, you know, you have to start small, but, you know, hopefully with time it would be possible to, you know, to increase the staff in this department so that the workload can be eased. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. And Donna, I do also want to add, thank you for what you said about the finances. I in no way meant to, you know, disparage what either you or Dina said. I really appreciate, you know, you bringing these issues up because on some level, you know, it does help to have some clarity about, you know, what's going on financially.
And I would like to comment before I ask Chandra whether that was a motion she was making, that I know that Rob had mentioned that Pacifica overall doesn't have goals for growth or increasing audience. But what I see here is that we're actually taking a group of over 100 stations or outlets for radio, and we're saying that we want to expand the job description for the person who has been just simply keeping tally of those. We want that person to really be involved in outreach through working with all of those outlets as well as all the other organizations in the country. So I don't think that it changes the affiliate coordinator relationship substantially from what's been happening. What it does is expand to include coverage and actual additional types of efforts at working with affiliates.